Ben. Thanks, worship team. Wasn't that great worship? Hey, it was really good. And welcome. If you're new here, first time today, we just bless you in the name of the Lord. I'm going to, as Ben said, we want to do a series over these 3 weeks because He Still Speaks. And I thought we could nearly do the series, He Still, .. You know, He still speaks. He still lives, doesn't He? He still lives. He still speaks. He still heals. He still does wonders, and He still does miracles, and that is the God we serve. I want to read today, we were singing about promises. I want to read you the fulfillment of a promise from Acts 2. We all know Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. I just want to read this. It just excites me. Every time I read this, it stirs in my heart memories, and it just always fills me with passion. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a rushing, mighty wind. Does that excite you? Just get a picture of that, eh? Just sitting in a room praying, just like this, 120 perhaps, sitting in a room, just in probably a little bit closer than what we are, but they're in a room, and suddenly there's a sound of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. I read that as a Catholic boy after my dad got involved in the charismatic renewal in the late 70s, and he got filled with the Spirit and it changed his life. And I saw the change in him, and I was a Catholic boy, and I'd grown up hearing these things, but I'd never seen it, never experienced it. And when I started to read this then, and having seen what happened to some of my friends and my dad, I got thirsty. And it said it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It just stirs you. I mean, it stirred me then. It should stir us afresh today, shouldn't it? It should keep stirring our hearts. I remember Alan Meyer, we went out for tea with him one time when he was here, and he told this story. It really stuck with me. I can't remember all the bits, but it was basically about whether he was on a camp or he was in Canada, I think, and he was out somewhere obviously involved with a church, and they were sleeping this night, and suddenly they started to hear dogs barking. And these dogs, one night, they're all asleep, and these nearby dogs had picked up the smell of a deer. And have you ever seen those films where you're trying to call your dog back and it's gone chasing some animal, some wild? There's something in this dog that's going to chase. They picked up the smell of the deer and they set off on a chase. I don't know if it was an actual, you know, hunting group or something, but this group of dogs began to bark as they were trying to sleep, and it was going on and on and on, and they were chasing. But what happened is the noise of the dogs began to grow fainter. But there was a couple of dogs, there was maybe one or two dogs that kept going all night and just kept chasing. And they could hear them barking. And Alan said, you know, that dog or those one or two dogs, they'd seen the deer. You know, they'd seen something, they'd touched something, they'd experienced something. And the point that it speaks to me is once we've tasted, once we've touched, once we've seen, once we've encountered the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I think we never stop pursuing it. We never stop having that desire that I don't want to live a life that's suboptimal. I don't want to live a life that's a little bit below par. We want to live our lives with all that God has for us. We want to keep that thirst and pursuing Him for the best that He has. And we have a value up there. It's sort of snuck up the top there. It's the one right down the back, and it says, we are dependent on the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit and therefore hunger for a life that is intimate with God and contends for the miraculous. It reminds me of that verse that Paul said. He said, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. We want that power. We want that dynamic. and that's our desire. And my doing this series during these 3 weeks, I just want to see our hearts stir afresh that hungers for the Spirit more. He still speaks, and I want our faith to build, and I want us to be encouraged about that today. The truth is, the experience that we read in Acts there is still for us today. It's still for us. You could use, as I said, words like he still fills, he still speaks, he still heals, he still does miracles, he still does wonders. To say that the events we read in the book of Acts, you know, Acts is an exciting book to read. 57 times in there, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. He's speaking, he's doing stuff, he's giving guidance, he's doing miracles. And we have a church that's empowered and they're acting in response to what he's saying. And they're on mission and they're on the move. And to say that what's happening in the books of Acts, when we read that and it stirs our heart and there's thirst, to say that is not for today, I've often shared this, it's like re-eating on a menu a meal that's there and starting to drool and wanting to say, that's what I'll have, and to be told they're no longer serving it in the kitchen. I mean, that would be such a disappointment. When Peter got up to explain what was happening in Acts, he said, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. This was the fulfillment of a promise. We sang today, we will rest in his promises. We don't need to have a hope, you know, I hope so. There's something inside, just like Ben said, we know our dad will come good. Our dad will come good on his word. And he and this is what Peter gets up and says, all they're seeing today, when the Spirit was outpoured, this is that which was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Okay, every guy under the age of 40, expect visions. Everyone my age or more, it says, and on your older men, dream dreams. Even on your male servants and your female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit and they shall prophesy. Goes on in Acts and says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Such a promise. It's just a gift. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off. We are the afar off. We're generations ahead of this, and it's still for us today and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The truth is, it's a promise, it's a gift, and it's for today. And based on that rest in that promise, we can seek it, we can receive it, we can experience it. I want to share today, before next week going on to talk about, you know, God speaking through the prophetic, I want to share today a couple of things that I felt, I don't know what word to use, it's a bit like what gets in the mix to make this really work. And I thought the first thing is the context we're in. And we shared over recent weeks about mission, about God's got an agenda, he's got a mission. And I think even all this we read here and our thirst for the Spirit, it's still in the context of mission. We need the right heart. We need the right motivation. We need the context right. Because in Acts 1, where it talks ahead about what the promise was that was to come, this is what Jesus said. He said, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the end of the earth. The context for the dynamic is that we're on mission. And I thought, you know, if we, you know, any church that gets Spirit-filled, any church that pursues the Spirit of God and sees him move, what happens? People are getting saved. Stuff happens. and there's something that the church becomes revived, and it's a church on mission. God has an agenda. It's to reconcile lost people to himself. His heart is for the lost, and that's the big picture. It says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's our calling. That's our job. It says, God making his appeal through us. Through us, God is making an appeal to a lost world, and we need to be spirit-filled and empowered to see the job done. The dynamic of the Spirit being empowered comes with purpose. And it's not like a toy to play with in our sandbox. It's for something bigger. It's to do a greater job, to be his witnesses. I thought about the whole thing about love. You know, you read in the teaching, you know, Paul has a teaching fairly lengthy in the book of Corinthians where he talks about the use of spiritual gifts. His intention, it says, is to dispel their ignorance. And he really says some great stuff in there. Talks about the gifts of the Spirit are not for us. They're for the common good. You know, they're not for me. The gifts that God would give to each of us is for the common good. It's for the work of God. It's not something, it's not a toy for me. It's not something to lift me up. It's something for the common good. He talks about how we're a body. He talks about this whole concept and he frames it in the sense that we're a body where everyone has a part to play and everyone has a gift. He talks about variety of gifts. And he encourages the pursuit of them. He is very clear that he encourages the pursuit. But he ends chapter 12 suddenly with this phrase, and I will show you a more excellent way. And then there's this chapter all about God's love and what God's love is. And then he starts the next chapter, chapter 14, in the same thread, and he says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. You know, the big point he's wanting to make is not that love replaces the need for spiritual gifts, but love is the motivation. Love is the atmosphere in which the spiritual gifts move. It's always about people. It's always about God's love for humanity. And the purpose is always missional. And the love of God, you know, it says the Spirit, the love is shed abroad in our hearts, the love of God by the Holy Spirit. I remember once having to preach one weekend, and I really wanted, you know, for it to go well. And I spent a few days to fast, you know. It was really important to me. And I was sort of taken back that when I did preach, I thought, you know, I felt like I didn't quite hit it. I felt like it wasn't really doing much. And I was disappointed. And I thought, you know, I was fasting and seeking God. But the strange thing was, it was Monday came, and Deb was meeting someone in town that she was helping. It was a single mum, and there was a real need. And I went down there to help Deb a little bit reluctantly that day. And when we got in there, this woman asked for prayer. And as we stood around and prayed for her, I felt overwhelming compassion. I felt the power of God. I felt everything happened there. But the strange thing was, I felt God was saying to me, it's not about Sunday, it's about Monday. You know, it's, you know, and we want Sundays to be great. We want this place to be filled with His Spirit. We want to see the gifts move. We want to see that dynamic of the Spirit. We all thirst for it. But it's for Monday as well, you know. We don't want it just to be for us. We want it to be for lost people. We want to be out in our town, an empowered people on fire for Him, seeing the lost reached. So that was my first point. What's in the mix? It's about mission. The second thing I thought is we need to be filled. We need to be filled. I was in our Connect group a few weeks ago. It was really good. We had really great worship. And I just sensed the Spirit there. And Deb prayed a prayer and she said, Lord, you have filled us. And I felt that is such a great word. When we have fellowship with the Spirit of God, when we get together, something happens and it's this sense of being filled. In Acts 2, we read it says, they were all filled with the Spirit. There's got to be that dynamic and that infilling. There's got to be that beginning point where we get baptized in the Spirit, we get filled with the Spirit. It's a bit like being baptized is like being immersed. It's like when you get, say these jeans began to fade and fade and they went really white or bleached and you put them in dye and everything that's in that dye gets into the jeans. It's like it's totally immersed. That's what we need. We need to be plunged in to the life of the Spirit. We need to be immersed. We need to be completely filled. Jesus said, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The thing is, it's a promise, remember. It's a gift. It's not earned. You don't have to reach some certain point and now you're ready for it. You just got to ask for it. You just got to have faith, like Ben said, like a little child that says, my dad has promised this and he's going to give it to me. And we just need to receive it by faith. We don't get the Holy Spirit because we're holy. He came on me when I had most need for him. We receive him so he can make us holy. In Luke it says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? That's our God. He's a how much more God, isn't he? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's something unique. It's a unique experience. It's not just when we get saved. It happens after we get saved for most. He's the baptizer. And there's evidence. Something happens for us and there's power. And most often we're speaking in tongues. That's what happens for us. But it's not something that should just be an experience we look back to 20 years, 5 years, 10 years when we were filled with the Spirit. Paul has this encouragement for us to keep ourselves filled. He says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. There's an ongoing, every day, getting yourself to fellowship, meeting with the Lord, spending time with him, keeping ourselves filled. And I feel encouraged to not neglect the whole Holy Spirit, to reacquaint myself with him, to cultivate our relationship with him, to talk to him, to acknowledge him, to make room for him. I remember when I went to a Bible school years ago, Barry Chant ran this course and he encouraged all the students when they began this course, went on for quite a few months, but he said, I want every student every day to pray in tongues for 15 minutes every day and see what happens. And it was almost like an experiment, you know. And the things that began to happen in people's lives was astounding because there was like, it's like a gateway for more of God, for more things to occur. They just set that discipline that every day they were going to devote time to pray in the Spirit. And I heard a Bible school I was listening to on tape, they said the same thing to the students. He set it for them as their homework. While they're going through this class every day, that in their time where they met with God, they needed to pray in tongues or maybe on their way to work in a car. But it's true, you know. You start making room for him, stuff happens. You know, it's only a case of making room. So that's my second point. We need to stay filled. We need to keep ourselves filled. My third thing that's in the mix, this is what I believe, is intimacy with God. It's important because we need to hear his voice. If God is going to use us in the dynamic of the Spirit more, we need to hear his voice. I thought about this, you know, do we recognize his voice? How well do we know his voice in our own lives? It's such a personal thing, isn't it? I love the sound of Debbie's voice. You know, I got told I shouldn't, you know, I'll get in trouble for making people don't want to hear about a 60-year-old man saying about he likes the sound of his wife's voice. But, you know, I love the sound of her voice. I love it when, you know, haven't seen Deb for a while and suddenly she's on the phone or she comes home and I know her voice and I know it even, and I like it even more when she says my name, you know. And God is like that. We get to know his voice when we're intimate, intimate and close to God. The Holy Spirit is a person, isn't he? He's a person and he speaks and we see the dynamic of the Spirit. We need to hear his voice. We had a grandchild a few months back and I was thinking about mothers, you know. They could be in a place where there was, I don't know, maybe 20 kids, 20 babies that were screaming. I wonder how long it takes till they learnt the sound of their child's voice, you know. It doesn't take long, I think. There's something that, you know, I know that voice. I know that voice. Can we recognize the voice of God? Can we hear him when he's talking to us? What is his voice like? There's a great story in Kings about a prophet, Elijah, and he's running. He's sort of on the run, and God takes him to a mountain and puts him in a cave, and he's actually there in fear at the time. He's a bit discouraged. And God says to him to go and stand on the mountain before him and to come outside of the cave and to stand. And then it says there was a great wind came, a great wind. And it said the Lord was not in the wind. You know, sometimes we've got to close our ears to the great noise that's around. It was like Ben was saying before, what is God saying in these times? We could be watching the news, we could be seeing things, we could be experiencing things, there could be chaos. There is a huge wind, but what is God saying? What is God saying? Then it says there was an earthquake. You know, things began to shake and things moved, but God was not in the earthquake. And then they said there was a great fire. There was fire, and it said the Lord was not in the fire. And then it says after the fire, there was the sound of a low whisper. Isn't that how you hear God? That's how I find him. He's like this quiet, still, small voice. And we need to attune ourselves to hear the voice of God. I remember Gary Swenson shared on this passage a few months back. He talked about how we used to have those old radios that you had the dial, you know, with the little line. And you had to get the channel right and you'd sort of get it right in there. It's like this still, still small space. We need to get this thin space, this line where we hear the voice of God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Hearing the voice of God develops, I'm sure, as we spend time with him. It develops through prayer, develops through reading this word. Nothing is more clear in the voice of God than the scriptures. It always has the ultimate authority. But still, as we spend time and get close to God, we hear his voice. And, you know, the big thing is often when we obey him. You know, when we obey what we hear, we get to learn his voice, we get to know his voice more. What is the use of God speaking if we're not listening? You know, he wants to hear us. In Isaiah, there's these great words. It says, and your eyes shall hear a word. No, it must be your ears. I've written it wrong. It says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or turn to the left. There's a story about the U.S. government hiring a blind man to work in the Treasury Department, and his job was to detect counterfeit notes. Blind man. His skill came because he became so sensitive to the feel of real money that he could immediately tell when someone would hand him a counterfeit note. You know, that's what it's like with us. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to get used to the real thing, and we need to hear him. My last thing in the mix is the element of faith. You know, faith is so necessary. It's so essential to see the dynamic of the Spirit. You know, we receive the gift of the Spirit by faith. Simple, childlike, even as Ben said at the start, about a child who trusts in their dad that he will come good on his promises. And if God made a promise to us, he will give it. And it's that assurance. It's when we put our faith and our trust in him, we expect it. We have faith-filled expectation, and God comes through. It's the same in our journey with the Lord. You know, if we're going to do anything for God, we've got to step out of boats. We've got to step out of boats. If we want to walk on water, we've got to step out. Barry Chan, you used to have this saying in a book. It says, when we step out, God steps in. We need to make room for God to step in. The difficulty, I know this is a challenge for me, maybe challenge for others, it can be with taking risk. Faith always has an element of risk. There's always the potential that something could go wrong. But I was reading in Acts chapter 16 where Paul was finishes up in Philippi, where they see a great move of God. They see a guy get out of jail. They see an earthquake occur. They're in prison. They see this great thing that God does. You take a few steps back, and he had a vision where he saw a man praying and saying, come and help us. And it was an open door for them to go into Macedonia. But you go back a few more steps, and it all began because Paul just decides, we're going to go and visit the churches where we've been and encourage them. And then they go on this journey. And then they try to go here and they try to go there and they get resisted and they get stopped. But at some point, God gets them to the place that he wanted them to be because they took steps of faith, because they were on the move and they weren't sitting around doubting and thinking, maybe God's this, you know, maybe God's here or maybe God's there. They got on the move. They got on mission. They got filled with the Spirit and they did what they could, and God moved in that space. The power of faith. If we are able to hear God's voice in a clear way and we're willing to take steps of faith and to obey him, these elements work together. And we just grow in our intimacy and his voice becomes more clear. Yong-Yi Cho once said, the key to ministry is simply to hear and obey. You know, what a secret. It's so simple and it's so powerful if we'll just hear his voice. I wonder if the team would come up. I'm just going to sing that song once more. And we're going to finish up. My challenge, what I feel God's challenging me about, we're doing this, he still speaks, is to not give up the pursuit, to not give up, to be like those deer that they've seen something, they've touched something, they've experienced something, and we're still on pursuit for all that God has for us. We're not settling for something suboptimal. We're not settling for anything less than all that God has for us. We're staying hungry. We're going to keep barking after God. We're not going to lose our conviction that we're dependent on the Holy Spirit to do the work of mission. Zechariah says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We're dependent on him. He's calling out to a lost world. Like Ben said, we are living in exciting times. God moves in these spaces. We need to be ready for all that God would have for us and all God would want to do in this town. We need to be a people filled with His Spirit. And it's only being filled with Him will we be bold enough to turn this little part of the world upside down. Paul had this challenge to the Galatian church. He said, "You foolish Galatians, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" We don't want to finish this part of the race. We don't want to keep going in this race in our own strength. We want to go in the strength of the Spirit. Let's stay on mission. Let's keep our focus for reaching lost people. Let's be motivated and at our core, love people. It's in that atmosphere the gifts will move. Let's stay filled. Let's keep ourselves filled, even today. I just want us to, even if you want to just stand again and we sing this song one last time, let's ask Jesus to fill us afresh. He's the baptizer in the Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, receive today in faith. Just lift your hands as we sing this. Let's pursue Him with all our hearts. Let's pursue intimacy with Him. Let's get close to Him. Let's spend time with Him. Let's reacquaint ourselves in our relationship with Him so we can hear His voice. And as we hear His voice, let's exercise our faith. Let's step out in obedience to His voice and see God step in with power. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's all stand and let's receive this morning. I'll hand back to Ben.